Hey, welcome in. It's the Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, David Garrard here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Glad you're along. It's a ghost town around these parts here at Everbank Field. Otherwise, as we came in this morning, I do believe Tony at the front desk, who works security, may be the only person typically or currently breathing and alive in the building right now.
It's there's not many people here. I know I walked in with Andre Branch this morning. I asked him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, how he was feeling. He said, I'm feeling good.
Name dropper.
You know, thanks for asking. Well, the fans out there want to know, too. Andre's recovering from an injury, so I asked him how he was doing and if he was feeling pretty good. He said he's feeling good.
I walked in with David Garrard. That's a lie. He just walked in a moment ago.
I did have my pick of parking spaces this morning.
You
so
did?
That
right?
Was awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, the you don't have your code anymore for the players lot, so you got to fight like the rest of us, mere mortals.
Unfortunately.
I know. It's such a rough life you've got now,
it's
man.
It's so weird.
You know? Was there assigned parking in the players' lot, or was it just kind of first come, first serve? Or did certain guys, like whether it was assigned or not, did the QB get kind
yeah,
of
certain
spot?
Guys kind of had their spots. If you park there all the time, like Scobie always parks in the same spot. I remember when Fred was here, he always parked his Ferrari in the same spot. So some guys had certain spots. I didn't really care. I was always here early. So
as
I
long as you're inside the,
I pretty much had my spot
compound.
Away. Yeah,
right. Keeping
exactly.
The riffraff away from the vehicle. How are you? How are things?
I'm great. We are doing some major work over there at Retro Fitness right now, signing people up at Harbor Village.
Are you open for business?
We are open for pre-sales. So we're signing members up, and then they can go in and tour the facility. It's not open yet. It's still under construction, but you get a great idea. We have an iPad that shows you a virtual tour of what the space will look like.
Due date. Give me a due date.
We're looking at the middle of December. So they say they're going to be done by the 12th, and we're kind of banking a couple days after that.
Missed you last week, obviously. You were in with Fat Tony. Appreciate that, as always.
We had a blast.
I'm sure you did.
Fat Tony was nerding out, and I was going along for the
yeah,
ride.
Yeah, because
wait,
they had announced
shock.
Yeah. They had announced the Force Awakens as the subtitle for the new Star Wars, and he hadn't seen all the Marvel announcement
I
stuff
didn't.
Yet.
Oh, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you
you're,
check
you're
out Interstellar?
Behind, though.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I've been kind of
okay.
Busy.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, Tony geeking out is like pretty much Tony.
That's every
that's
day.
Just Tony.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
I had not really seen that before, so it was kind of interesting when I saw it come out of my
right,
mind.
Right, when he gets really excited about something.
Oh, yeah. It was. He had never seen it before. I was like, you haven't seen the Marvel stuff?
Yeah.
Thanos is wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
And I'm like, Thanos is who?
Yeah.
You know, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
But I live it through my son, who's 10, but I'm gotten to the point now where wait 2 weeks and it's going to be something else. You know, it's Star Wars, then it's the Marvel Universe, then
sure.
It's something else, and on it goes. He had everything picked out for Christmas. He was all set, ready to go. Dad may have done a little early shopping, and he goes, oh, no, I don't want any of that stuff anymore. It was like a week later.
Wow.
You know, no, I want the new Batman 3 video game, please, if
we
I
just
may.
Saw that this morning. My son was going crazy in the house. I'm
did
like,
you?
Oh, okay, I guess we know what we're going to get.
Right, I guess at least we know what's on the top
yeah,
of the
Lego
exactly.
Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the new Lego Batman game.
He thought it was a movie, and then he was like, no, it's a game!
It's even better.
Yeah.
It's a movie that you can play the leading role in on your TV every single solitary day, if you let them. Don't let them do that.
No.
What do you make of it, man? Trip to England, take on the Dallas Cowboys. Your quick impressions from the performance.
Well, the things that I was concerned about happened. You know, I was concerned about DeMarco Murray, and he kind of got banged up a little bit there, but he still was able to show, you know, his explosive ability. And then Dez Bryant, I mean, this guy is just a monster.
He's a freak.
He is. He really is, because you can see in the way that he plays, he is determined. He does not care who's in front of him. He doesn't care who's around him. He is determined to get the ball into the end zone, and he plays that way. He gives off that aura that, you know, of invincibility. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are. I am going to get this ball in the end zone, and those are the kind of players that you want to see, that you want to have a part of your team. The guys that do have that passion that, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter today. I'm going to take over this game best I can, and that was great. I mean, it was great to see that.
And doesn't hurt that he has maybe the best offensive line going right now, too.
Yeah, but, you know, the offensive line isn't out there when the ball gets in his hands. You know,
understood.
He's a receiver, so you want to see guys that, even if you don't pick up a 40-yard touchdown, you want to see guys that are just determined to get the first down, determined to, you know, shake guys off, and they're not just happy with the catch and, you know, getting a couple yards. They want to get the ball in the end zone. So, but he's kind of displayed that his, you know, most of his career. You can just see it growing more and more as he continues to get confident in his game and his ability. And, but then, you know, you talk about the Jags offensively. You see Blake does a lot of really good things. He throws the ball around. He doesn't care about, you know, unfortunately doesn't care about throwing interceptions. He cares, but, you know, he's still going to have that gunslinger mentality. But you're just getting tired of seeing him being the reason why we're having these terrible mistakes. You know, he's leading the league and all these different turnovers and all that kind of stuff.
Did you think that was the case this week against Dallas?
No, I just think Dallas just kept racking up points, and they got right there before the half and got that huge momentum boost right there. And it was just so many different things that just kept piling on top of us, and we're taking one step forward and another one step back, and it's almost like we weren't able to just compete the entire game with them. You know, so.
Well, yeah, once Dez Bryant scored that second TD of his in the first half, game was over.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jags needed to literally come out and score on the opening drive of the second half. I felt they have any chance to win that football game. Didn't do it. They extended the lead. You know, this pretty much cruised from that point on.
Yeah, just because you're, you know, it was more than just Blake. It was, you know, it was a total team loss. You know, first half they had the chances there.
Too many critical turnovers.
And that's the thing. I mean,
turnovers and big plays allowed.
You have those turnovers, but if you even just have the big plays without the turnovers, you're still closer in this ball game. I think you still go down and get points on the board. I mean, they were right there in the beginning, then all of a sudden, you know, touchdown here, touchdown there, and now you almost feel like it's insurmountable to be able to make that comeback. And then it just keeps snowballing downhill, and they just gain more confidence. I mean, you can see momentum clearly in football games, and confidence grow in teams in football games, and that's what was happening.
You know, it's easy for us to say it would have been different because we saw Jags punt late in the half, one play, Dez Bryant touchdown, right?
Yeah.
So it may have not have made a difference, but if you just field the punt,
yeah.
Even if you don't pick up a first down, you punt it away. The defense at that point had allowed 3 points on two possessions by Dallas. Maybe you hold them again. Then if you don't fumble, Denard Robinson after the Cecil Shorts big game, maybe at least at worst kick a field goal. It could be a 10-point difference right there. And then, you know, if you don't give up, and again, we're talking about a series of individual plays. You don't give up that touchdown to Dez Bryant. And really, with 31 seconds left, most teams hold the other team off the scoreboard in that situation, even though the punt wasn't great there.
Yeah, I mean, 30 seconds left, you got to think they've got to, you know, do quite a bit to get down the field in a short amount of time. But when you just pop one right over the top of your DB, you know, it's sad. You know, that's not how winning football is played. That is not how you're trying to progress and get better as a unit when you let something like that happen, because that should not happen, not in the NFL.
All right, we've got David Garrard here with us for the next couple hours. If you want to get in, 641-1010 is the phone number. As always, today's Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. We usually ask you for your keys to victory on Friday. No game this week, so we're asking for 3 predictions for the remaining 6 games of the season. Not necessarily what the record's going to be or what they're going to do in any individual game, although you can take it that direction if you want to. Just predictions on how they're going to play, which players are going to emerge, which players are going to take a step back. Whatever you want to do, if it's related to the performance of this football team on the field over the next month and a half, those are the kind of predictions we're looking for today. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at DavidGarrard9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad to have you on board. 641-1010, the phone number if you want to get in today and talk a little Jaguar football, if you want to make your predictions on the air as to what you think is going to happen the remainder of this football season. We're certainly willing to take those as well. You can also go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. And we'll get David's recollections of the bye week and how important the bye week is and what you should be doing. And when you're a struggling team and when you're a winning team, how the bye week is different, the different approaches coaches take to it, backing off or continuing to work over that time period. We'll discuss all those things coming up today. Again, Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. This is the fellow from The Boys, right?
That is right.
Blake Shelton.
Right? You say so.
Blue Eyes.
Well, you know, the thing is, Tony, as you
it's
know,
a good song.
I'm having
I don't
issues.
Listen to Blake Shelton or watch The Voice, so I'm a little bit lost.
I watch The Voice sometimes. My wife likes The Voice a lot, so we'll watch it on occasion. This is a pretty good song, actually. I like that song. But I'm not a big country music aficionado. But the point being here, I've got, I don't know, my typical 8 or 9 browser windows open. And, you know, Lauren and I communicate on Instant Messenger as well as on the airwaves.
Right.
And she always tells me name of the artist, name of the song, to try to help us guess the theme. And she doesn't want to click on an AOL right now. It's just very frustrating. All right?
You well, I'm glad this wasn't a more difficult one.
I want to, I'm guessing there was Blake involved in there. Mm-hmm. So does this have to do with your predictions, for the remainder of the season?
Well done. You're thinking on a Friday.
I am.
Yep.
Thinking. How did I miss the easiest one of the week yesterday?
I don't know.
It was goodbye, right? And then it was like bye, bye, bye. Well,
you got it as soon as we had cars. Bye, bye, love.
I did. But it was the bye week. And,
wow.
I know. I was like, well, you know what it was? O'Halloran came in here telling us everything in the world is garbage.
Yep.
And so it put me in a frame of mind that it must be a Ryan O'Halloran, the world is garbage kind of theme. And, I was wrong. I was wrong, shockingly.
Ryan needs more sunshine in his life.
He needs something. I don't know.
But he enjoyed the English
that was
weather.
That was going to say, that was the one thing he said he enjoyed.
The one thing he liked was the weather. He really is.
He's
like,
just a gloomy guy.
He's like a cartoon villain is what he is, right? I mean, he sits there rubbing his hands together as he types out his columns and, you know, thinks of, I don't know, ways to steal Christmas from all the little children of Whoville. That's what he does.
He has a great laugh.
Nicely played. Nicely played there. So anyway, you're predicting something that Blake Bortles may get some playing time. I don't know, that Blake Bortles is going to do some outstanding quarterbacking over the
next
6 games.
He's going to limit his turnovers and not make the same mistakes twice. That's my prediction.
Excellent. I did not know what your prediction was, but I knew it was Blake related. We'll talk about predictions today for the last 6 games of the season. You can call and share yours or your concerns or your hopes and dreams, whatever you want to share with us here at 641-1010. Bye week is upon us, Dave. And last year, I don't know if it's coincidental. I don't know if getting away from the game for a week, allowing your body to rest a little bit, whatever the case, Jags came out playing their best football out of the bye last week. Going back to your career, I'm assuming bye weeks fell at various times, sometimes after a win, sometimes after a loss. At this point in the season, I would think it is almost overdue for some of these guys to get the bye week.
Yeah, and you know, normally as a head coach, your bye can be better or worse, just depending on how you arrive to it. And you know, Jack would always kind of tell us what the bye was going to look like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks in advance, so we, you know, could not start making plans, but we would have an idea. So guys wouldn't, you know, constantly be worried about, well, what do we get? What are we going to have? So you could put it to rest and just continue to move on with the next few games. But he would always kind of say that if we can go into it with this kind of a record, so it'd be kind of a nugget, then we'll just do one day or we'll do, you know, just half a day. And so guys would kind of come in thinking, okay, we came in, you know, pretty good into this bye. We start thinking, well, maybe we might not get any days. You know, we might just be able to take the whole
week
off. Now,
right.
He never gave us the whole week. The best bye weeks we've had, we came in on Wednesday. We're supposed to work Wednesday and Thursday, and we came in Wednesday and worked Wednesday. started practice on Thursday. He blew the horn and told everybody to go enjoy your bye week. That was the best bye week we had. The worst one we had was we came in on Wednesday, we worked Wednesday and Thursday, and then he said, I want everybody to come in and watch some film Friday morning before you take off. So that was, you know, it was pretty much, you know, depending on how you were playing and how happy and the success we were having. Now, the best bye week I was a part of was in New York with Rex Ryan. We came in the next Monday. That was one of the days right after the game on Sunday. Monday, and then Tuesday, we were supposed to go bowling. And the bowling alley had some kind of fire on the inside of it. So
were the whereabouts of all 53 yeah. members accounted for at that
so
time?
So we arrived to the bowling alley with probably five or six fire trucks outside, ambulances outside. And we were like, okay, this is not going to happen, coach. There's no way. So he's like, well, let's just see what's going on. And
Rex
then,
loves his bowling, I guess. Really wanted to get that in.
So we sat out there for about 20 minutes. They actually brought donuts into the buses where the guys were sitting there waiting. And Rex was like, all right, this is taking too long. Let's go. So everybody started checking flights right there on the bus. You got back to the building. You already had your bags pretty much in your car ready to go. I got an earlier flight, like 2 hours earlier. And, you know, sailing home on Tuesday. So that means we
Tuesday until the next Monday.
Yeah, we,
right?
We didn't have to be back. I think we had to be back Sunday evening for like a team meeting.
Just to make sure everyone's
just
gonna
to make
it
sure
back,
everybody
right?
got
right.
back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, but that was one of the best ones.
What about guys that are like hurt? I mean, is that the worst when the bye week comes? You got to stick around and get treatment?
Yeah, that game before the bye week. I mean, you're trying to do everything to win the ball game, of course, but then you're also trying to protect yourself so that you're not stuck here. I mean, I think you heard, I don't know if you guys heard about Aaron Rodgers, you know, with his hamstring. He told everybody, hey, I'm fine. I'm not staying here. Just
right.
give me some kind of hamstring, you know,
wrap
protocol that you
something.
Want me to do.
Yeah.
And while I'm home, you know, basking or wherever I'm at, I'll make sure to ice and, you know, stretch and whatever for his hamstring.
Olivia Munn could help him with that.
Yeah.
I think. I'm sure.
I think they said that they flew off to Italy somewhere.
Worked
and
the kinks out.
He was icing up in Italy.
Of course he was. They've got ice in Italy.
Yeah.
We found. And, for you, what advice would you give to Blake Bortles? This is his first season, obviously. There's a lot of newness here. Is this a time, should he completely put football out of his mind for a few days? Would that be a good approach, you know, just kind of refresh his mind? Should he be thinking more about football? How should he approach this week?
Well, I would say until they leave. I'm not sure what the day that they're gone
they're,
now.
They're good. They're,
yeah,
they're,
so probably yesterday was their last day. I would just would have told him to have been here more each day this week, knowing that your schedule is not as long as normal. You don't have to save energy for a game that upcoming weekend. So you can stay longer, break down more film, watch more film of just your games past, because normally you're trying to watch film of your opponent. So you got to watch a lot of breakdown of what you've done this year. And hopefully his coaches have broken things down, good and bad, for him so he can see the bad and see the good. But stay here a little bit longer than you have been staying here. Keep some receivers here. You know, go in with your O-line a little bit more this week. But then once you are done, he needs to take some time away from the game, because he needs to be able to reset to, you know, kind of get his mind on just enjoying life again, so that when he comes back, he's fresh, he's rejuvenated, he's ready to get back into the, you know, second half of their season, so that he can play fresh. He can come back with a new zeal, if you will, and go out there and remember the things that he was doing great in those first few games, so that he can get back to that.
You didn't play like this as a rookie, obviously. I mean, he's, you know, been the starter for most of the season here. But is it a case where from afar it looks like he's thinking a little too much right now? That's what Jeff Loggeman thinks. He got in there the first few games, instinctively went out there and just played football. Threw to the guy he saw open, didn't have time to think too much, right? And as the season goes on, you start to try to get into the nuances of the offense, and you kind of get bogged down.
You do. And you start thinking like, okay, I've got an idea of what should be happening, And when it doesn't happen, you react slower. And so I think in the beginning, he was just out there, you know, whatever his eyes told him, he was trying to make it happen. You know, he wasn't thinking, oh, I could try to manipulate this guy this way and try to get this guy open. It's, okay, he's covered. Here, give it to this guy. Now he's trying to grow in his abilities. He's trying to grow in his craft, but you know, he's still not there yet. And so defenses are catching up to him. So he's thinking one thing, they're doing something else that they weren't showing on film, or maybe it's a way that everybody has kind of got the book on him right now and how you can kind of stop him. And so he's still trying to grow through that. He's still trying to become a better quarterback through things that he knows he may be limited in. Maybe his coaches know that he's limited in certain things. And that's another thing for them too, is to help him not be put in some of those situations, or to give him plays that, you know, he can be successful on. And the thing is you can't narrow the playbook down but so much, because now you don't have enough to play chess with the defense. You know, you're doing such simple things, you're almost going back to preseason, and it makes it really easy for the defense to stop a lot of things.
Allen Robinson gone.
Sad.
Remainder of the year. Yeah. Been the most consistent guy.
Yep.
Most heavily targeted, Mike DeRocco had some great numbers on how
did
important
we see
he was
anything?
On third down.
I can't remember. Did he?
No. No. It was a case where he had his foot in a boot, but nobody thought it was necessarily any
yeah.
big deal, kind of a precautionary thing. And then,
he said it had been bothering him for a couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Stress fracture.
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
wasn't like one instance
no.
where it just happened,
yeah.
you know, and was noticeable. And I guess.
Well, you know, hopefully this allows Marquise Lee to be able to step up and be a bigger part of the offense. I mean, a guy who just, he's supposed to be, I know you said it before, he's supposed to be that guy, that explosive guy that catches the ball and does a lot of things with it. And you can still get the ball to those kind of guys, even if they're not quite, you know, he's young, so he's not quite getting things, you know, figured out down the field, but there's bubble screens, there's slants, there's quick outs. There's ways to get the ball into his hands and let him use that explosiveness.
Allen Robinson, 17 catches on third down, tied for fourth best in the league
wow.
this year, and 13
it's
of those.
Where Blake has looked.
Yeah, yeah. And 13 of those went for first downs on those plays, and you look at that. The rest of the team has had 37 catches from all the rest of the receivers combined, and 20 first downs out of those 37. So the percentage of times they converted going to Allen Robinson, strikingly higher. Blake Bortles' quarterback rating, so much better when thrown to Allen Robinson than any other wide receiver on this football team as well. He had a 71.4 QBR, total quarterback rating, the one that goes to 100. And that was the best of any receiver. Thrown to Clay Harbor, his quarterback rating is 56. For instance, Allen Hurns, 46.8. Found this interesting. Thrown to Cecil Shorts, 24.9 quarterback rating on a scale of 1 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
33 of 56 for 375 yards. So a pretty low
per-catch
average.
I can tell you why.
Why's that?
Cecil is the veteran receiver on the team, so he wants to get Cecil the ball more. He wants to try to target Cecil more because he knows Cecil can make the plays. He knows, but sometimes he's trying to do it too much. Sometimes maybe the defense is not exactly what it should be to get the ball to him, and so you start forcing it to him. You start trying to jam it in there. You start trying to get him the ball even when he's not really open, and it's probably somebody else that is open, but I feel more confident in Cecil. That happens sometimes with certain receivers that, you know, kind of they need the ball more, and you feel confident in them more, but you almost are at a detriment to yourself because you're trying to force the ball to this guy now.
Cecil, one touchdown catch and four interceptions thrown by Blake when throwing to Cecil.
Yeah.
So that highlights what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Right,
and Cecil has been in and out of the lineup, so when he gets back in, you're like, okay, I need to get the ball to Cecil. Now he's, you know, one of the dynamic guys in the receiving core. And so you're really forcing it to him, and I think him being in and out of the lineup has made Blake feel like, okay, this is the older guy on our offense. I don't want to upset him. I want to get him the ball. You know, he deserves to have the ball, but it's not really part of the flow of the offense.
Do you think it will be Lee? I know Leah has a bigger opportunity now than he's had. I think he's had an opportunity excuse me, an opportunity because they wanted him to make his mark. To me, Allen Hurns is the guy that, as long as he's cleared through the concussion protocol for next week, he is going to have a chance to reassert himself from what we saw early in the year. You know, he had that lull kind of after a hot start, started to come on again. And, you know, in terms of the guys that the receivers that Bortles has had any kind of success with, three touchdowns, three picks when throwing to Hurns is the best ratio.
No, definitely. And I think Hurns is just going to demand the ball anyway, just because of the way he plays, the way he's developing as a receiver. The reason why I was saying Marquise Lee would, you know, benefit from this is you have so many receivers, you can only throw the ball to so many guys. I think when you take out, you know, one of the top guys, now the guys from the bottom start to step up a little bit more and start getting targeted more. And so I'm saying it's going to benefit him so that he can be on the field a little bit more. He can get a little bit more reps at it. He can get more comfortable with Blake possibly giving him more balls than he's gotten, you know, recently here in the past. But definitely Hurns and Cecil Shorts are the guys that, you know, if I'm the quarterback, I'm looking for those guys more often.
They'll be the starters in two wide receiver sets.
I'm just looking for Marquise to be another piece.
He has an opportunity to have a bigger role than he's had.
Because you think he's the one that can be the explosive guy that can take
the ball.
You hope so. That's what you're hoping. But he has to get the ball in his hands so that his confidence grows. I think his confidence, I know his confidence is down.
Why are we seeing so many rookie wide receivers this year have such success? I mean, ridiculous. Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins, Calvin Benjamin, Odell Beckham, Brandon Cooks, John Brown, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry last night. I mean, on and on.
You know, even though the system in college is not a college system where they just, you know, stay a shotgun the whole time, but receivers are having to run routes now, and they're getting a ton of balls thrown to them nowadays
in college.
So when they come into the league now, it's like, okay, I just have to figure out the system. I know how to run routes. I know how to, you know, get myself open. I know how to catch the ball. So that's why you see a lot of receivers nowadays that are coming in and having an easier transition. They get so many balls thrown to them in college, where back in the day it was you concentrated on the run more. You would throw like a go route in college or a deep post in college, maybe a shallow cross, but you didn't run a lot of intricate routes. Where in college now, I mean, they're running routes the entire game pretty much, you know. So I think guys are just more comfortable once they make that step into the league.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
This year in particular.
Another thing, too, I think the way the youth has started growing up. When I was growing up, you just played in the backyard. You played in the street. That was pretty much your workout when you weren't in season. Nowadays, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, you've already got some kind of personal trainer.
Right.
Whether it's a track coach that's working with you on speed, whether it's you know, just an offensive kind of guru guy that is helping you if you do figure like you want to be a receiver or if you're a quarterback. It's starting so much younger nowadays that we're now seeing those guys that have been in that, they're starting to flourish earlier in their NFL careers.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on. David Garrard here with us, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll start with Robert first up today on 1010XL. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. You know, I know some people are going to just say, you know, you're ridiculous, but you know, one thing I've noticed about Bortles is a lot like Peyton Manning's first season. He throws a lot of picks, but he comes right back out and he keeps, you know, hammering at it. Does he, or has anybody told him, you know, hey, maybe you need to take this time to work with receivers like Manning did with Wayne and like Manning did with all the other receivers? Does he take that extra time, just him and them one-on-one?
You're talking about the bye week now.
Well, even in the bye week.
Or beyond that.
Well, the bye week and beyond, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I got you. I mean, we saw that all summer. We saw guys taking extra reps after practice.
I was
going to
say, I hope he's been doing this already.
Right.
And definitely during the bye week, he wants to spend a little bit more time after practice, before practice, because like I said, you're not trying to get yourself set for the weekend because you got a big game coming up that weekend. You're off the weekend, so stay out there an extra hour or two longer with those guys, even if you're just communicating things with them and you're walking through things. But part of it is throwing routes to them. It is throwing those extra routes. You don't want to wear yourself out because you do have more of the season left, but you do have to start doing different things. You can't, if you're doing the same thing that you were doing week one, then you're going to have the same results. Nothing's going to change. So he does have to figure some things out. But he is a rookie. You do want to see that competitive edge that he has had in the ball games. You know, even when he does throw these interceptions, he still comes right back out and he's firing the ball. He doesn't get gun shy. He doesn't go into a shell of himself and, you know, get glossy eyed. But like I said, it starts to wear on you. And the only thing that I can say with Peyton when he was a rookie, he threw a lot of interceptions, but he almost matched them
with
touchdowns. And that's the one thing that's a difference here.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets overlooked. People point out, well, Peyton threw a lot of interceptions. So do a lot of bad quarterbacks throw a lot of interceptions.
Peyton also threw 26
TDs.
If you throw two and two every game, I mean, you're still feeling pretty good.
Mark Brunell never threw 26 touchdowns in his career.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, in a single season. So, I mean, what he was able to do as a rookie, I mean, to compare.
And Blake has been better than some other rookies too. I mean, there's no looking at a rookie season and saying, this is who he's going to be based on what I saw in the rookie season. You watch what he does on the field, and you make a projection based on what the player does. And the stats don't always tell you exactly who somebody's going to be. I go back to Eli Manning, his rookie year when he got thrown in there for those seven starts. He threw for over 200 yards one time during that time. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns in games four of those seven games that he played, finally overmatched in the last game of the season, week 17, they beat Dallas. And he threw for 201 yards and three touchdowns and a pick. That was his best game. It was the first time they won, but you watched him and you knew that it was there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you got to understand guys' circumstances too. With Blake, I mean, he's got a bunch of rookies. He's got an offensive line that isn't that great. He's got a running back game that is just starting to kind of come along. So there are so many things that are, you know, not really in his favor. If he had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle and Mercedes Lewis healthy and an offensive line with Tony Boselli, you know, so if he had all these things, I would think we would see a little bit different game. I would think also he would not feel like he had to take it upon himself to do everything. But the circumstances that he's in, he feels like I have to do so much more.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. We'll come back with more of your calls at 641-1010. Also, here are some highlights from the Gus Bradley Show last night. Jags off for the week. We got David Garrard in. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here. Jaguars today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Put on my blue suede shoes and
I gotta try to figure out what her prediction is based on this one.
Exactly. See, there's a little extra challenge on a Friday.
Right, there's different levels.
This is Mark Cohn.
Said Derek Marks.
There you go! Yeah, look at you.
He's gonna, what? Have.
Continue to play at a Pro Bowl level.
All right, there you go.
He's going to continue to play in his blue suede shoes.
So we're going. At first I thought.
And Derek probably has them.
Does she realize the Titans are from Nashville and not Memphis?
She does.
And she does. So, she does. Yes. I thought maybe walk over Memphis. Walk over the Titans.
No.
I was headed in that direction.
Nope. And Derek Marks, who joins us next Tuesday when we're live at Boston's, he's going to continue to have a great season.
Oh, Jaguars today is live at Boston's next week?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All day. We're going to be there all day.
Wait a minute. Is that right?
Helmets and Heels.
Oh, Helmets and Heels will be awesome.
That's why I said us.
Oh.
I was trying to avoid the reference, so I didn't get made fun of.
We say us, and we're here.
Yeah.
I mean,
talking about us.
You guys are live on location every day.
Your goings on, too.
David Garrard was a part of it.
What about Fat Tuesday?
That's right.
Where's that going to be?
The station.
Oh, man.
But Fat Tuesdays are so much more fun out and about.
Right next to the drug lab, apparently.
That's right.
Over there. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about last week. Something. What happened?
They had a big, the very, very shocking that the very well-kept trailer that, I don't know what that would be, 9089
The one where the guy
Hogan
sits out in front of with his shirt off the whole time?
That's the one. That's
okay,
the one.
The dogs are always in the gate.
Yeah.
You have random visitors late at night. I mean,
all hours.
Thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought that they may be dealing drugs out of that?
It's not
place.
A daycare.
It may have been as well a daycare, but It was.
Cops didn't know when to break
in. It was heroin and crack.
Well, here's the thing. They noticed and they did something about it. So good for them. Good for the local authorities.
They put it over there right next to that substation. Yeah. I mean, it was a bold spot to have your drugged in.
Heroin and crack, along with what? Plutonium and other substances.
Plutonium.
That are on the top 10 worst things for you in the world.
Are they trying to take over the world?
Honestly,
with their
as close
plutonium?
As it was over there, I'm really glad it wasn't crystal meth because they probably would have torched it. Or at least try to, and it would have been inhospitable over there for a couple days.
It would have been, Tony apparently knows what it smells like after they blow up a meth lab. I don't know.
No, it's dangerous. You cannot be around it.
Oh, the fumes?
Yeah.
Afterwards?
It'll kill you.
Well, that's a good thing we do our show down here.
Right.
At Everbank.
There you go.
Right? We would have had beef in a hazmat suit back at the, we wouldn't have subjected Lauren to that.
You were out of town. I was there.
I was out of the country.
I was there.
He learned that from the show. What's that show that?
Oh, Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
I learned that from my police officer friends.
Yeah, I was out of the country, because I got the heads up. Like,
oh, was it?
He's like, see ya.
You might not want to be around, alright? Coast is clear. I'm back. Just kidding. 641-1010. Let's get some phone calls going. David Garrard is here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks. But when she refers to us, she's not actually talking about us, just to be clear. All right? 641-1010. Aye, aye, aye. James, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
What's going on? How are you? Go ahead.
Well, I'm doing fine now that I got out of the hospital.
Well, good for you.
David, I miss you playing. I want you to know that.
Thanks, sir.
I saw you when you first started at Jacksonville, and I thought it was a big mistake when they let you go.
I appreciate that.
You know, but I want to, Blake Bortles reminds me of one quarterback. And when he gets on track, he's going to be just like him. And that's Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett threw a lot of interceptions, but Tom Flores knew how to handle him. You know, and he sat behind, Joe Ferguson for 12 years and didn't even touch the ball. And he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And Al Davis knew what he got when he got Plunkett. And I remember when Plunkett went in, when Dan Pastorini broke his leg and Plunkett went in and they went to the Super Bowl that year at 9-7 and beat the Philadelphia Eagles for the Super Bowl for the first time. I mean, that boy can throw a long ball. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And when he gets on track, there ain't nobody going to stop him.
All right, James, I hope you're right. I hope he does not follow the career path of Jim Plunkett, though, who it took him over a decade to get rolling in the National Football League. So if Blake follows that path, hopefully it's a much accelerated one. And he gives us that quarterback, that Super Bowl quarterback level of play while he's still here in Jacksonville, rather than on his third team in the National Football League.
I really believe that Blake is going to be a special player. I think that he has the abilities. He's figuring things out now. Yeah, it doesn't look pretty right now. But I think when we get into the season next year, we're all going to be very happy, very pleased with the way that he is progressing and hopefully the rest of the team. I can't speak for the rest of the team. They still have to do some pieces in the draft and free agency. But I think this is really beneficial for Blake. I don't see him being the guy that loses confidence because he's thrown so many interceptions.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I don't take that. I don't feel that. I don't see that on the field. He's going to continue in the offseason to work on his mechanics so that he does not lose his mechanics as he's, you know, kind of going through the rigors of this season. Because it can. You can start to lose things as you are trying to figure things out mentally and you start losing things physically. But hopefully they continue to work with him day in and day out on his mechanics. And then when he gets into the offseason, they do more things with him, and he just continues to grow as a quarterback.
I know you're always learning, especially at a position like that. You're always learning new things and trying to get better at your craft every day. But when, for you in your career, as far as time on the field starting, did it really start to slow down for you and you felt like, all right, I can do this. I'm comfortable being a starting quarterback in this league. How long did that take?
Well, I really got my real first action in 05. That was the season that we went to the playoffs in. And so that first game, well, before that, we played the, in 2004, we played, Detroit Lions and we went in overtime with them and I threw a game-winning touchdown to Jimmy Smith. and he took off with it. I felt good, but I still didn't quite know everything. That was really only like my, you know, fourth start at that time. I did have some preseason. I did have a lot of practices under my belt, but it's nothing like being out there on game day. And then in 2005, when Byron went down with ankle injury against Arizona, you know, I was kind of thrust out there. I knew what was going on. I just felt like as that season was going, I was getting better. And then went into 2006, and he got hurt again. I really felt like I knew what was going on at that time. So it was probably about 10 to 12 games that I finally got in. But it was about three seasons for me before things started clicking, because I did not have all the reps like Blake is getting now. I do believe after this season, with all these reps, and when he goes back and he's watching film of himself from this past year, all off season, and he's watching other teams, he's watching other quarterbacks, he's breaking down what they're doing, he's figuring out the things that they do great, the things that they do wrong, he's going to be better next year. I think by his third season, though, that's when he will be kind of a Pro Bowl quarterback. That's when we'll be able to tell that this guy is really for real. Next year, he'll still be good, and he may be even at that level next year, but I think by his third season is when he's really, really going to take off. I still think they have the opportunity, if everybody plays well next season, if they get pieces for next season, that they could have a good run. But for him personally, by his third season, you'll see a big difference. We won't even be talking about, man, how many interceptions he threw his rookie year and all that. We may, but it only might be because of somebody else that's in the league throwing a bunch of interceptions as a rookie. You know, they can kind of compare him to what Blake has done.
I will take the resume of Jim Plunkett ultimately if you give me a couple of Super Bowl championships.
No doubt.
Anybody would take that. You'd be dumb not to, but I hope he's a lot better player than Jim Plunkett, to be honest with you. I mean, Jim Plunkett, and I know the eras are different, but Jim Plunkett was not a great quarterback by any stretch. Jim Plunkett completed 60% of his passes once in his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know the standards have changed for that, but he threw 34 more interceptions than he did touchdowns. And he didn't sit early in his career. He started every game his first four seasons in the league. This wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he did kick around a little bit, and Oakland Tom Flores did get him going again, and they won a couple of Super Bowls in the early 80s. So you would take that. You hope the path to that postseason success is a lot quicker. Let's go to Steve up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. What's going on, Dave? How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good, brother. Just wanted to first and foremost, Dave, thank you for the condolences about my pop passed away in September. That really means a lot, for sure. My dad loved you as an NFL player, but most importantly, loved you as a friend, and I think that's really huge on you and your family, for sure, for thanking my family. Thank you, sir. Where do you guys see, Tony and Mike and Dave, where do you guys see the biggest draft need at this time for the Jags? Even though we still have a little bit of the season left to go, but what's going to help alleviate a little bit of pressure off of Blake Bortles and the team so everybody kind of just relax just a little bit? I understand the more reps they're going to get, the more they're going to relax, but where do you see us going or in the direction of looking at? And I'll listen to your comments off the air, and I love the show.
All right, thanks. Look, we're not going to sit
here. I don't get into it deep. I'll tell you the same thing. We had a call on Monday about the same thing. Look, in the first round, I fully expect them to be looking to upgrade defense, specifically pass rush.
That's what Dave Caldwell laid out when he took the team over. Wanted to get a QB, wanted to get a left tackle, wanted to get a pass rusher.
A lot of young pieces on that offense that I think they're going to be looking at spots, especially on that offensive line, probably to upgrade, and we'll see what decisions they make evaluating the players they have there. Do they want to try to get somebody that's a little bit better than Austin Pastor at right tackle? How do they feel about Luke Jokel now that he's played an entire season at left tackle? If they want to take a look there, I doubt that they will. Look, they have a lot of young pieces on offense that they feel pretty good about. Linebacker, they have to address this offseason, maybe something at free safety. With Josh Evans being a sixth-round pick, he's played okay, but not great, and it's certainly not freeing up Jonathan Cyprian to be the type of player that I think they want to allow him to be. And their pass rush is old. I mean, at this point, they brought some guys in to help him on that defensive line, but it's veteran guys that you're going to have to replace sooner rather than later and get a difference maker on that defensive line potentially in the first round of the draft.
You usually don't find those guys in free agency either because they don't hit free agency. They don't get to that point typically. Occasionally you find some, but not that level of impact player. But the other positions I think will be greatly impacted by what they do with the free agent dollars as well. I mean, that's a spot where you feel like you might be able to get a couple of starting linebackers.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, November 14th, 1993, Dolphins coach Don Shula recorded his NFL record 325th career victory as Miami downed Philadelphia 19-14. I see his total coaching record, I see, according to profootballreference.com, is 328, 156, and 6. It's a lot of ties, right? Not nearly the most ties, by the way, among the top coaches. Some of those old timers played in, I guess, no overtime at all back in the day. So, you had a lot more tie games. I would like to, throw a pop quiz at the room here. Don Shula is number one on the all-time coaching list. I would like, as many members of the top 10 all-time winningest coaches as you can name, and I'll give you bonus credit for any of the active coaches that you named that are in the top 20 all-time as well. So you can go either direction. Who do you got?
Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells is number 11. He's just outside the
Tony
top 10.
Dungy.
No
Tony,
extra credit.
Tony Dungy. Not even close. Tony Dungy's 22nd. I'm surprised he's got that many.
Active coaches, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick's number 6. Only guy in the top 10, and he's 6th overall.
And you, how many other active coaches are in the 20?
3 others in the top 20.
Coughlin
is 13th. How about Tom Coughlin is 13th all-time in coaching victories in the National Football League?
Wow. Andy Reid?
Andy Reid is 20th. Surprised he's not higher, even.
I
guess he didn't coach as long as Coughlin, but he was always in the playoffs, it seemed, for a stretch there. You're missing one active coach.
Oh, Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher, very nice.
They won 8 games every year, like clockwork.
Let's see, Coughlin. Coughlin's got 7 games left, right? So let's say he goes 3-4 in his last 7 games. That'd get him to 164. He needs 187 to crack the top 10. He'd need 187. Huh. So
we got 8 other guys in the top 10.
Yes.
George Halas.
Halas number 2. And he had, how about this? 318, 148, with 31 ties.
That's
for
crazy.
31 ties for George Halas.
Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll is number 8.
How about Seifert?
All time. Seifert is not to be found.
Tom Landry. Wow.
Tom Landry's number 3. Very nice.
Sorry, that was me cheating off the air.
It's all right. No, you're thinking Joe Gibbs,
yes.
But he's 17th all time. I will give you the top 10. Don Shula.
Paul Brown.
George Halas. Tom Landry. Paul Brown is number 5. Curly Lambeau is number 4. I don't think you would have gotten Curly Lambeau.
Yeah, that was my next guess.
Is Schottenheimer, did he coach long enough to
Belichick
get up there?
Schottenheimer's number 7.
Nice.
He's right. He's carrying you right now, Gerard. Chuck Knoll is number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Did it all with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dan Reeves, number 9. And
really?
Chuck Knox is number 10.
How about that?
And Parcells is number 11.
And Bill Parcells is number 11. Well played. Mike Shanahan could get back into the mix, too. There's been talk that if they get rid of Tressman in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
he's the one guy that Cutler liked playing with. You know, he had Cutler and Marshall. So maybe they hook it back up. But, man, I'm fascinated now by Tom Coughlin. Is he going to hang on? He'll hang on another year in New York, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Right? So let's say he goes another year. He could certainly go 2, right, if he has a decent year next year. He needs 23 from where he stands right now. If he gets – all right, just from where he stands, he needs 26 more wins to get into the top 10 of all time.
Wow.
With 2 Super Bowl championships, 2 trips to the AFC title game.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, unquestionably Hall of Fame. I mean, not – Are all these? Now I say that, is Marty Schottenheimer in the Hall of Fame? I don't know that he is. He doesn't have the Super Bowl wins.
No,
he's got a ton of wins though. He got fired after going 14-2. For goodness sakes.
Yeah, but they never won anything.
It just goes to show you how much your level of satisfaction changes, right?
Yeah.
Like right now, what with the Jags? They give Gus Bradley have a lifetime contract if he went 14-2. Of course, Coughlin did it. And he didn't have a lifetime deal, right?
Five years later. I mean, look at Andy Reid. You know, he went to the championship so many times.
Four in a row,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And including one Super Bowl, didn't win.
But
it,
he was always in the playoffs. But when you go so long, but you never get anything past the playoffs, then, you know, they're like.
Your boy Seifert was 31st overall, by the way.
Oh, so I was close.
Throwing him in there. Ditka's 27th. I'm just looking at some interesting names on the list. I'm a little surprised. I guess Dungy was around in Indy for so long. And plus the wins he carried from Tampa.
Yeah, but he didn't play. He didn't coach nearly long enough.
No, but he's still in the top 25 all time. Yeah. I think it's pretty good. Where's Mark?
He just won every year.
Yeah, I bet his win percentage is up there among the greats.
Let's see. Dungy, 139 and 69. Just looking at it, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
668 winning percentage is among the best.
Stiff.
Shula was 678 with all those games won. Now, they basically, if you sort by winning percentage, they pretty much give you everybody here. But John Madden's the all-time second highest winning percentage coach. How about this record? 103-32-7.
Oh, wow.
103-32-7 for Madden, topped only by Guy Chamberlain. And he was coached in the 20s, so who cares about Guy Chamberlain?
Leather helmets.
There you have it. This Dayton football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need the stop-snoring mouth guard, maybe your loved one does. That means you need it as well. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this Dayton football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, I wonder how the NFL would feel about one of its players literally fighting a fan. Even if it is in the boxing ring, and even if it is supposedly for charity, Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall got into it on Twitter with a Lions fan yesterday that escalated into Marshall challenging that fan to a boxing match for charity. Marshall said he would give the fan $5,000 just for getting in the ring with him, and wound up saying he would give another $20,000 if he beat him. But then the fan would have to serve 100 hours of community service if Marshall beat him at an orphanage. The loudmouth Lion fan seemed to have backed down. Since it escalated to that point, Marshall also demanded that the fan apologize to his mother, whom the fan also insulted. Week 11 in the NFL got started last night in a game where the Miami Dolphins defense dominated. Miami won 22-9 over Buffalo, allowing only one field goal in the second half of the game and 237 yards to the Bills over the course of the entire game. Ryan Tannehill maintained his solid play, throwing for 240 yards, two touchdowns, rushing for a key second half first down. Bills defensive end Mario Williams racked up 3.5 sacks last night to give him 10 sacks now on the season. The Dolphins, with their 13-point win, remain one of only two teams to have registered double-digit wins in every victory this year. The other, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it is.
We don't there beat it you, is. We crush you. What's happening here? How about that? Did you say the guy backed off on the Marshall Twitter thing?
Like when Marshall escalated it, the guy basically said, why don't you make it $25,000?
Right.
And Marshall was like, all right, $25,000 it is.
But then the guy, did you see the guy came back after that even? He says he hired an agent. And no, he put the stipulation, because the guy's clearly ducking him, but he said, well, if you win three more games, right? So he's trying to create, the guy's offering you $25,000, and his agent, quote unquote agent, his Twitter agent, right? Which I'm sure that's legit. He says he has a quote boxing background. What does that mean? You watch Friday Night Fights? Who knows
this
what that means?
This sounds like a real life episode of Billy Beatdown.
What is that?
You never saw that show?
I don't think I ever saw
Billy
Beatdown.
It was literally a show on like MTV or something where if you had been bullied by somebody in your life, you could write in and they would show up and basically put this bully through the rigors of having to fight like MMA.
Like an MMA fight, right? They had to agree to it.
Yeah, you agree to it, and they were always bragging. They were always bragging like, I ain't scared of this guy, and then they're tapping out in 3 seconds.
Yeah, and this guy would come in and do your dirty work for
you.
I did see that show now that you mentioned it.
I love that show.
It would have been better if he just rang the doorbell and it was on.
Yes.
Right? You know? I mean, I think the legalities may have gotten away. We all would watch that one, Dave. No question about it. All right, so there you have it, the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Good for Brandon Marshall. Although the guy actually, though, he took it up another night. He also said, I'm going to do this for all the woman beaters out there. Brandon Marshall's had domestic, violence issues in his life. So this guy, this guy's down in the gutter with Marshall right now. Probably the best course is to ignore people like that, even when they insult your mother on Twitter. Regardless, I'd see it. I'd pay $5 to see that as opposed to any other, actual pay-per-view boxing match that's going on out there. I know I can get it for $5, but you got the idea.
Sure.
Well, first of all, it's Twitter, so it could be a 13-year-old boy.
Yes, it could. It could be a 13-year-old girl.
Or a 13-year-old girl. So, I mean, that's why I say it's sad. It's stupid.
It'd be awesome if it was like an 81-year-old lady.
And she's like, 81-year-old lady.
She goes, let's go.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
I got
a background in boxing.
I don't even need a mouthpiece.
I have got a background in boxing.
Hold these for me.
Here we go. 641-1010 if you want to get in. We will come back and give you some of the highlights from last night's Gus Bradley show right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They have the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida to sell and service the ELR is Claude Nolan. With an on-site body shop, they'll paint and repair any model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guarantees to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac only one step away. Build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call them at 642-5111. That's 642-5111 for our Friday sponsor, Claude Nolan Cadillac. Back with more Jaguars today, straight ahead, live from Everbank. We may be the only ones alive at Everbank this morning, but we're here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Did you miss the Gus Bradley show last night? Florida Pump Service presents Gus Bradley Rewind. Now don't let it happen again.
That's Marquise, right? You see his speed, and that's what he showed in college. Now that's our challenge, is to get him to play with that speed when he's playing wide receiver. We understand that you have to have some patience, but we don't want to be stale. We don't want to just say, oh, we understand it's going to take some time. We want to compete to speed this process up, and that's what we're trying to do with some of these guys. Right now, we're at the point where Jed makes the call, and that's on. We don't make a lot of checks with Blake. We don't put that on him. So the receivers, it goes on to them to understand some of the base principles they're seeing coverage-wise and the conversions that need to take place.
Gus Bradley Rewind, presented by Florida Pump Service. We make water happen. Click FloridaPumpService.com.
Which Robinson?
That's got to be Denard, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not getting anything out of Allen the rest of the way. Took me a moment to figure that out. I'm like, wait a minute, Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not calling Denard a girl, even though he does have the long hair.
What's your prediction for Denard?
Denard's going to get five more touchdowns.
Wow.
Yep.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
It would be.
Bad. Great prediction.
Fantasy-wise, Josh Carney was pointing this out yesterday.
RB1, baby.
He's been a top five guy in standard scoring leagues for the last 4 weeks in terms of running backs.
Let me grab my phone real quick.
There you go. If any league you're playing in, he's still available, give us a call next year. We'll join that league. With you.
No, I was thinking about that yesterday. It's been a while. I mean, it's been 3 or 4 years with Mojo since you got to a bye week for the Jags, and you were like, how am I going to replace that guy in my lineup?
Right.
And Denard's been that kind of good for the last month.
No, he really has. He's been an automatic start. When we say standard leagues, not to turn us into a fantasy show, but we're talking about leagues that don't award a point per catch. Mm-hmm. That's the one area he's been lacking, is catching the football. He's had some receptions this year. I think I saw the numbers, Blake throwing to him 13 out of 17 for only 50 yards. And on those throws, when you're 13 out of 17 for 50 yards, no touchdowns and one pick, what do you think your quarterback rating translates to? It's a pretty good completion percentage, right?
It's probably not very good, though.
Yeah, not very good.
Because you're throwing for 50 yards on 17 attempts.
Right, you're getting like 4 yards an attempt, which is not very good.
Somewhere in the low 40s would be my guess.
2.6.
Wow.
2.6. I mean, and you almost like you'd look at that, and if you're an analytics
guy. Is that quarterback
guy,
rating or total QBR?
That's total QBR.
Okay.
Right. Total QBR. So it's, alright. Same difference. I know, different stat, but, so in other words, if you played at that rate, you would be better than only 2.6% of the quarterback performances of the last however many years they go back tracking.
You'd be saying
the
you'd
data.
Be better than 1 in 50 performances.
Basically, if you're heavy into the analytics, you would say never throw the ball to Denard Robinson, right? But that skews the fact that in certain circumstances.
You still have those numbers in front of you?
I do.
What are they to Gerhardt?
Does not go that deep. It only goes with the okay. top seven targeted guys, which are Robinson, Shorts, Hearns, Harbor, Todman. Todman, he's 12 of 18 for 97 yards, so he's done more. He's about double the yardage on about the same amount of attempts and catches. And
about 17.
His total QBR is then 18.5, right? And it doesn't have an interception throwing in that direction. Throwing to Marquise Lee. How many times has Blake Bortles targeted Marquise Lee this year? Keep in mind that at first game, I think he had 6 catches from Chad Henne, right? Because they were looking, as they did late in the preseason,
yeah,
looking for ways to just to throw him those short little wide receiver screens, get the ball in his hands, let him run after the catch.
How many catches does he have?
How many attempts? How many times do you think Blake Bortles has thrown the ball to Marquise
Lee
this year? And how many catches?
How many catches does he have right
total?
Now? Yeah.
I don't have his total. I just have the Blake Bortles portion.
I think he's probably thrown to him 16 times.
16?
Yeah.
He's thrown to him 10 times.
Yeah.
10?
That's it. 10 times. He's 5 of 10 passing to Marquise Lee for 68 yards, with 1 interception, no touchdowns, and a total QBR of 3.9. So, hasn't been very effective. Again, these are incredibly small sample sizes.
Sure.
We're not saying that would hold up forever.
Stop throwing it to Marquise.
Right. Stop. Well, you can't throw it to him.
And
you
Denard.
Can't throw it to Denard. You really don't, would prefer not to throw it to Todman here. Shorts, the total QBR thrown at Cecil is only 24.9.
Oh.
Hey, Alan Hearns and Clay Harbor. And really, this brings up a point, Dave. Clay Harbor, the total QBR throwing to him. He's 25 of 32 for 272 yards, a touchdown and an interception. That's solid.
It is.
Right? It's 56.9 total QBR. And, by the way, Blake's overall total QBR, worst in the league among starting quarterbacks.
31st to 31, yeah.
And which is what? What range is the number? Which I just want to have that as comparison to see how much better he is when he's thrown to certain guys. But the point being.
25.6 overall.
Okay, so better than twice as effective when throwing to Clay Harbor. He's been a nice safety blanket for him. Mercedes Lewis is coming back, and he was always a safety blanket for you. You've always wondered why he wasn't utilized more, since you stopped being the quarterback here in Jacksonville. How big of an impact can he help offset? Will he offset the loss of Allen Robinson, albeit maybe in a different way?
I think so. I mean, because now you get to throw the ball down the middle of the field, and you have a target in the middle of the field, a guy that has a ton of range. His radius is huge, so you're able to throw him open better. He has come along quite a ways from, you know, early on in his career where he could, you know, he had a hard time running routes and staying upright and, you know, always kind of stumbling and that kind of stuff. I just think he was young and kind of still growing into himself. But now somebody for Blake to be able to say, you know what, I have another veteran guy out here, a guy who demands the ball, a guy who knows how to get open, a guy that in the run game is going to be awesome. I mean, that is another thing that's going to help Denard out as well. So just Mercedes' presence out there is going to make Blake more comfortable, and it's going to have Blake throw him the ball more often. And Mercedes just has to knock off that rust, you know, that kind of stuff, and get his energy up and get his stamina and all those kind of things that it takes to play in a football game. But as he does that, as the season goes on, you'll see him continue to help Blake grow as a quarterback.
I think the biggest thing you miss with Allen Robinson is, man, that pair of hands.
Yeah.
As the season's gone on, it's been more and more impressive every week, Dave. You see him catch balls in tight coverage,
yep,
getting blasted at times, and barely a bobble. I mean, he's really got a pair of mitts on him, and that's why I think Blake has been so successful converting those third down passes, because right now, you know, with the offensive line not protecting enough on the deeper drops, teams know that the Jags don't have time to go down the field. They're tight up on these guys in third down situations, and you got a big body guy who catches it away from his body and can take that kind of hit. That's why I think they've been so successful on third down.
Yeah, and that's the same thing that Mercedes is going to get you, because now he's matched up on a linebacker or a safety, and Mercedes is a much better route runner than those guys can cover. And so, and then his size, you just said that Allen has great hands, and his size is what
he doesn't have Mercedes size, right?
No, he doesn't. So that just takes it up another level. Now he doesn't have Mercedes doesn't have the same kind of speed that he has, but he's going against slower guys, and so that is going to give Blake more confidence when he's throwing the ball to Mercedes to know that this guy is going to make the plays for me necessary.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10. I believe we have Jerome up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. What's going on?
I just got a comment right quick. I'm a Jack fan. I'm a diehard Jack fan, and it's hard when your team is losing so many games like this every year, but this late in the season, and we ain't really won nothing. We have really nothing forward to look forward to but the draft and free agents. I mean, yeah, it's a little early, but what else is there to look forward to? We hope that they do good. But, I mean, still at the same time, we ain't got nothing else to look for. It ain't like we're looking for the playoffs or anything. So, with that being said, I just want to take it off the air with this. I like Amari Cooper because I don't see no stud on defense coming out, and I like Amari Cooper in the draft.
What I tell you guys, I'm getting.
I know. We're going to get a lot of that.
Todd Gurley has been usurped by Amari Cooper now that Denard Robinson has come on. I don't see any way they draft an offensive skill guy that high, presuming, unless they, you know, if they were to trade down, say, to 10 and accumulate some other picks or something like that,
sure.
You know, the possibility's out there.
And honestly, Jerome, I don't think I could disagree more as far as, you know, if you're a fan, you can look forward to or not look forward to whatever you want. I think a team that is this young, that has chosen to do it this way, there's a lot to watch in the last 6 weeks of the season. You're watching them having to play now without who has been the most consistent receiver in this offense. Allen Robinson's out. We've been talking about it all day. What's it going to look like for Blake Bortles coming out of a bye week when he's had a chance to kind of sit back, relax, and hit that reset button? How much better is this offense going to look? They have a run game for the first time. Mercedes Lewis should be back on the field for this offense as well. Can they start taking advantage of that middle part of the field that they just haven't had anybody that's effective doing it? Can Mercedes Lewis give them that now that they have the run game going and the play action maybe working a little bit? I think that there's a lot to still watch for a team that is this young trying to learn how to win in the league. Let some of those young guys learn how to do it two or three times over the last 6 weeks of the season. I think that helps you exponentially going into next year. You're not looking at playoffs, but you're looking at a lot of growth on a young team over the last month and a half.
And I agree with that, but I also understand there's certain fans that view it. That people consume their football in different ways, right? So if you say, you know what, I'm all about making the playoffs. We want to win a championship. And, this not making the playoffs stuff, once we're pretty much eliminated, that ruins the season for me. That's your prerogative.
Sure.
You're looking ahead to next year in player procurement. I wouldn't blame you a bit if you're in that. I'm just not ready to turn the show over to 6 weeks of that, because trust me, come January, other than talking NFL playoffs, what do you think we're going to be talking about? But how can the Jags build on what they already have? Who's coming back? Who's not coming back? Which free agents, which draft picks are the apple of their eye?
And I think when you say you're a diehard fan and you're a fan, you still want to see your team go out there and compete. You still want to see and try to find some of the positive things that are going on the field. Yeah, you're going to get frustrated because everything's not going to be pretty always, but you still want to see Blake get better in certain areas. You want to see Denard, see if he can continue to add on to what he's done so far. You want to see the defense, hopefully, you can find those pieces that are emerging as the year continues to go on. So there is definitely things you can still watch. First of all, it's the NFL and it's your favorite football team. Those are two great reasons to watch the game. But then also, you just want to see your team continue to get better in certain areas. So there's definitely things to watch when you're watching the rest of the season.
6-4-1-10-10. Eric, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to comment. I think Blake Bortles is a great quarterback. Give him some time. What we need to do is we need to build in the trenches. We need to solidify our offensive line, just like the Cowboys did. Their offensive line's no joke, and it keeps them in games. And then as far as our defense goes, let's hang on to some of these guys, quit switching guys in and out, let them stay for another season. I like our linebackers. I think Jonathan Cyprian needs to learn how to play the game, but he may come along eventually. I don't know. But let's start with the trenches there.
All right. You know, look, I like Paul Posluszny. You know, I like JT Thomas as a player.
Yep.
I think we'd all like to see him in more of a supplementary role. At least I would. You know, beyond that, Geno Hayes, just a guy in the National Football League. It's not a shot at Geno. It's just the facts of the matter. They don't have any difference-making talent in that unit. Jeremiah George is going to get an opportunity to show he can play some middle, but ultimately, if Posluszny comes back healthy, he's going to be the guy next year. You've got to find some impact players that can play outside linebacker for you. I was just looking at the free agent list. It's not exactly, you know, exploding with talent.
Yeah.
In a lot of old talent. I mean, names that you'd recognize, those guys are way over the hill, and that's not the kind of guys you want to bring in. If you can get a guy that's coming in, and there may be some guys that Dave Caldwell likes on that list, but linebacker, I think, is going to be one of the key areas of focus this offseason.
You definitely got to find somebody, period, on your team that is making a difference. Somebody that you can say, okay, this is a person that we're going to watch every Sunday, and they're going to come to play, and they're going to make a ton of plays every Sunday. That's what we're lacking. I mean, I was listening to the earlier show, The Drill. This was last week before we went into the playing the Cowboys, and they had some Cowboy radio guys on, mm-hmm. I guess, and they were going back and forth. So many funny jokes that they were saying. But the one thing that the Cowboys guys kept saying was, and who do you guys have on your team again? Can you name one player that somebody in America has heard of? And that's sad. That's sad that they know that the rest of America knows of nobody on our team. You gotta have impact players, players that are household names and guys that you can see that are gonna, you know, become household names. Blake is gonna be one of those guys. But, you know, honestly, from there, it's like, who else? And he's only gonna become that household player because of his position. You know, and we think that he has the ability to become that kind of player, but who's our linebackers? Who are our safeties? You know, all those things I'm sure Jaguar fans get tired of not being able to see their team highlighted on SportsCenter or highlighted on a national TV commercial. Like, we need those kind of guys.
And that's fine. And I don't disagree with you. You need playmakers. You need recognizable stars. And that are stars not because they're recognizable, but because of their impact on the field.
Because they make plays.
But for all that, for Dallas, they've had about as much success in the playoffs as the Jags have for the last 15 years. So where's it gotten you? Nowhere, really. I mean, in the final tally, you can name all these guys. You can name Tony Romo, and you could name DeMarcus Ware for years, and you can name DeMarco Murray, and maybe they'll go deep in the playoffs this year. But it hasn't done anything for them. They've been a star-studded roster for years that either has underachieved or those stars were just simply overrated. And, you know, you've got as many playoff wins as Tony Romo does, Dave.
And I'm not all, and
I've got one less.
I'm not just saying that they have to be stars like, you know, on Dancing with the Stars type guys.
I hear you.
I'm saying guys that when you pull up the Jaguars roster, you're like, oh, they have this guy. Oh, they have this
right.
guy.
Right. Guys, you got a game plan
guys
for.
Guys that stand
no
out.
Question.
Exactly. Guys that you got a game plan for.
All right. We got to take time out here when we return. We still will get to some highlights from the Gus Bradley show last night. Squeeze in a few more calls if we can as well. Plus the fan feedback spotlight today asking you for three predictions for the remaining six games, whether you're talking win-loss record or whatever you'd like. You can share those with us via Twitter at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
Marquise Lee, right?
No, but that would have fit for that one, too. You know what? We'll say yes. We'll say it applies to that one, and it applies to Mercedes Lewis.
Okay, Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah,
yes.
Lee and Lewis.
Yeah, we'll say both.
I thought we were talking about Bowles Davis for a minute, and I thought, what is he going to do in the final six games of the season? Street free agent pickup.
Harass me less, maybe?
the acquisition. Does he harass you?
Every day.
Really?
But don't worry, I harass him back.
Oh, because we'll send Gerard over there. I'm not going to regulate,
yeah.
But I will send Dave over there. He's been working out.
He might faint if that happens.
By the way, for folks who missed the beginning of the show, give us a quick update on the fitness endeavor.
Yeah, Retro Fitness. We're at Harbor Village. That is next to Queens Harbor and the old Big Air space. We're there now. We're actually in just pre-sales. Construction is on the way, and we actually are planning on being open mid-December, so hopefully right before the New Year's. Everybody has their New Year's resolutions, and they want to come out and find a great gym. We're very cost-effective. We are $19.99 for our base price, and then where our VIP price is $29.99, and that gets you child sitting, that gets you classes, and that gets you tanning, and then the rest of the gym. So we have a mezzanine in there. It's really cool. It's going to be a great look. We have a mezzanine. That means you can work out upstairs. There's cardio upstairs machines where you can look down over the rest of the gym. We actually have a theater. It's a cardio theater where you can go in and enjoy a great movie. You can watch the Avengers, or if we have Transformers on, or maybe it's a big game that's on, we'll play that in the theater as well. So if you don't want to kind of be out there on display when you're training and working out, you can go into the theater.
You can go hide.
Yeah, you can go have a little privacy.
Go hide in the
theater.
We like
to say privacy.
Enjoy some privacy at Retro Fitness. Look for that pre-sale going on right now and opening hopefully mid-December we're looking at. Today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you to make some predictions on the final six games of the season. Tony, what kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Eric. At least 3 wins, better quarterback play, better special teams play, hashtag hope, hashtag 3 predictions. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar, number 1, Blake has a passer rating of 95+ and only 2 interceptions.
The rest of the way?
The rest of the way. Denard averages 80+ yards a game. 3+ wins.
I could see Denard averaging 80+ a game.
I could too. From Will, we got Will's not so sunny here. 1-5. Bortles tosses 7 picks. Lewis gets injured again. He's obviously a Jaguar believer.
Honestly, those 7 picks is right about in line with what Jed Fish was talking about. Cut it down to 1 a game. He's averaging 2 a game there for a little while.
Yes, he was. So. From Brandon, Colvin gets his first pick from Eli, calling his shot.
Oh, that's nice.
Blake comes out swinging after the bye. Lee is explosive with yards after catch. Hashtag any XL will do. From Duval Doom, I'll get teed off. He'll get angry. Someone will say Jaguars Twitter is too negative, and I'll miss them at 4:30 December 28th.
So probably all those are accurate.
Those are more personal predictions.
That's okay.
They are team predictions.
That's okay. Right. But they impact the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anything else of note?
Nope. That's what we got on
pretty
Twitter.
Much it. All right. I'll tell you, I think that Allen Hurns will be the most productive receiver for this football team the rest of the way over the last 6 games.
Yeah, I think he will too. I do hope and I think that Mercedes will get on track because I want that for Blake. I think he's going to be a great security blanket for Blake, but and also will allow him to get his confidence going back again, you know, coming off the injury and just dealing what he's been dealing with through the last few years of his career. It's been tough for him, but I know he's still a special player. I know he still has the ability to stretch the field down the middle and really work those linebackers, you know. Clay Harbor has, you know, he's emerged as a pretty good pass-catching tight end, but you also need to have that tight end that can, you know, dominate a run game, too. That will also help Denard out. And so for him, for Hurns, if we can just get both of them going, and Cecil, you know what, we'll look pretty good, and Blake will look pretty good.
I think Blake will have a 1-to-1 TD to interception ratio or better the rest of the way. I think a week to maybe clear his mind a little bit. Quality of competition as well when you factor in, you know, Tennessee, Houston a couple of times. I think the Jags are going to win 2 games, the rest of the way. I'm not going to tell you exactly I know who, but I just sense that, there's enough winnable games in there. I think 4 of them that are imminently winnable and funny things happen in the National Football League.
Sure.
But I'm going to say, 2-4 at a minimum over the last 6.
I think you'll have a real idea of how the last 6 are going to go based on how competitive they are when they go to Indianapolis coming out of the bye. But again, we won't know that until 9 days from now when they actually make that trip. I think that this team plays 2 clean games in the last six. And what I mean by that, right, no turnovers, the special teams isn't hurting you for a couple games, and the fans are going to have a better idea of just how far the talent level has risen on this team. It's difficult to see it with how often they're making bad plays, and part of that is that they do have guys that are new to the game. They're a bunch of young guys, but it's the veterans, too, that have been letting them down. Brian Anger, Josh Scobie, some plays that just haven't been made in special teams. So I think they play a couple clean games. I agree with you, Mike. I think they're going to win a couple coming down the stretch. And I want to see Blake close out a game with his arm. I don't want it to come down to the defense made a play and put us at point-blank range. I want to see one time in this last six where in the fourth quarter of the game, whether it be in the last 10 minutes or just sometime in that last 15 minutes, where the Jags get the ball down four and Blake leads a drive that puts them ahead. I just want to see it one time in the last six so that he has the confidence going into 2015 that, yeah, I can do that. I did it last year with a bunch of guys who didn't know what they were doing. We're even better now by the time we get to the beginning of next season. I think he really needs that kind of success.
All right, quickly, a couple of thoughts here from Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night, talking about Marquise Lee and the role he'll have over the final six games.
That's Marquise, right? You see his speed, and that's what he showed in college. Now that's our challenge, is to get him to play with that speed when he's playing wide receiver. And he's had a really couple good weeks. What I've talked to him multiple times is that in practice you build trust with the coaches, and you build trust with your teammates, and then when you get the opportunity on the field, you really got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and Marquise Lee, look, just because a lot of these rookie wide receivers are making a quick impact this year, and we noted a lot of them earlier, it's traditionally, still, it's a difficult transition to make. And just because one guy does it faster than the other guy might do it faster and then peak right there. And that may be it for him. Marquise Lee may come along a little bit slower and 2-3 years into his career, may look like the player who was, many thought would be a first round pick this year. Gus also talking about the rest of the receivers really needing to help Bortles out over the next 6 weeks.
Right now, we're at the point where Jen makes the call, and that's on. We don't make a lot of checks with Blake. We don't put that on him. So the receivers, it goes on to them to understand some of the base principles they're seeing coverage-wise and the conversions that need to take place.
Finally, jumping ahead, Gus has talked about, you know, the race to maturity and all that. And, well, they may be maturing. He talked in some of his public comments early in the week. It's not happening fast enough. That process needs to be accelerated, and he talked a little bit about that last night.
We understand that you have to have some patience, but we don't want to be stale. We don't want to just say, oh, we understand it's going to take some time. We want to compete to speed this process up, and that's what we're trying to do with some of these guys.
All right, Gus Bradley, Gus Bradley Show every Thursday night, along with Jeff Loggeman right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. One other guy, and we've mentioned him on and off a couple times today, Aaron Colvin, potential number one, first round, high second round type talent. So say the draft prognosticators. You get him in the fourth round.
So say the Jags. I mean, that's what they've said since they drafted him.
Exactly. So if he can play like that, if he can get six games under his belt and hit the ground running in the offseason and have a healthy offseason, and go into next year, all of a sudden it's like you're adding a piece to this puzzle out of the clear blue sky, almost. You knew he was there, but you kind of forget about him. It's like you don't think about Chris Smith because he's not making an impact with this football team as a kind of a mid to later round pick. Aaron Colvin turns out to be the guy that he was before he got hurt. All of a sudden you reshuffle that whole secondary. You got Colvin maybe at the top along with Demetrius McCray, and now maybe you feel a lot better about the entirety of that cornerback group.
Yeah, if you can sneak out of this draft with Allen Hurns and Colvin making a big impact going into next year, now you're really feeling pretty good about yourself because you got two guys that, you know what, nobody thought very much about. Yeah, they thought about Colvin before.
Right.
But he's been hidden for so long because of his injury. If he can come out and show in his last six games that, you know, he has that playmaker's ability, then you're right. Things do get shuffled around a little bit, and it allows you to go attack some other positions.
All right, fan feedback spotlight today with your predictions brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, including Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush Mazda, and Tom Bush Volkswagen. You can visit tombush.com for more info the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. We appreciate all of you stopping by today for David Garrard, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks. Joe Fortunato, he's with the rest of the Everbank crew.
Yes, he is.
Whatever they're doing, they're not doing it here today. It's pretty much a ghost town down at Everbank today. Hope the Jags are getting rested up, ready to hit the ground running next Monday and prove us right and pick up some of those W's in the final six games of the season. Thanks to Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor on the program. Coming up, the boys of XL Primetime. Dave, have a good weekend. What are you going to do this weekend?
Well, there's a lot of football on this weekend, but I will be, you know, at the pre-sale center trying to sign up new members, but I still get my football in.
Go out and see DG9. By the way.
Actually, Joe and his wife came by Wednesday night. They were just walking around the shopping center there because they had just eaten at a German restaurant that's in our shopping center, and he came walking by, and I yelled out to him. Talked to him for a little bit, so that I got to see him.
You got to burn that schnitzel off somehow, yeah. Man. Retro Fitness, you kidding me? Passing along thanks. I know you got it on Twitter as well for all those cards you signed for all the folks over there in the Bold City Brigade UK and Ireland chapters. Yeah. They were very appreciative of that when I got to hook up with them last week. All right, boys, that'll do it for us and for the lovely Lauren Brooks, Joe C., Hacker, and T-Week. Coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.